Good morning. Today I'm here to talk about our seventh principle, which says, we believe in the interconnected web of all existence. When we assert this, we assert an idea that goes deep into the well of the past, that may be the oldest transcendent idea our humankind has had, that the ancient Hindu scriptures, the Vedas, and also Buddhist writings teach, and that American Indians, for example, knew deeply, as Pam Tinker has recently reminded us. History shows us that this is an elusive idea, easily forgettable. It does not fit our modern cultural narrative. And look where we are now on this planet. Among what I might call brick-and-mortar American religions, we are alone in holding up this idea as one of our first principles, although many religions are happily now working for the environment. I wonder if we realize that we have an ever-deepening, multi-layered principle here. Today, I want to give you a glimpse of the idea's history, to think with you about how we might experience it as a spiritual principle, and to suggest a direction that I believe the seventh principle can take us. I said the principle has an ancient history. Let's begin in the first century AD with a quote from Marcus Aurelius. In beginning here, I don't want to imply that the idea started there. It didn't. But Marcus Aurelius wrote, all things are implicated in one another, and the bond is holy, and there is hardly anything unconnected with any other thing. For things have been coordinated, and they combine to make up the same universe. There it is. All things are implicated with one another, and the bond is holy. My husband, a chemist, takes delight in the idea that the periodic table of elements is the same throughout the entire cosmos. On in our tracing of the path of this idea, we can move to Chinese Huayin Buddhists living and writing at the turn of the 8th century AD, who developed a very beautiful analogy for their understanding of what is going on in nature. Their idea is called Indra's net. Imagine, they said, the necklace of the goddess Indra, which is a web extending in every direction, having a faceted jewel at every intersection, with the special property that every facet of every jewel reflects every other facet. Exactly in this way, they said, nature is connected. Nothing is incidental. Everything is implied by everything else. Wait, how did they hear of Marcus Aurelius? Of course they didn't. They just meditated 6 hours a day and were influenced by a long history of Taoism. In Buddhism, this idea shows up repeatedly. It is called mutually dependent arising. A great teacher of modern Buddhism, Thich Nhat Hanh, often wrote of this idea. His word for it is interbeing. And I will use this word too, as well as interdependency. If time allowed, I could speak here of our UU fathers, Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau, and also of the great physicist David Bohm. But I want to connect the seventh principle with our present state of affairs. We in this congregation are feeling the urgency of climate change and are moving toward finding bigger ways to fight it. The world needs this effort, and our response is all too rare. And with this principle, there is usually more to think about. Do we think it means recycling, lobbying, protesting? Absolutely. And there is more. The idea of interconnection is both an advanced spiritual idea and a rational one. The science of ecology expands daily in what it documents about interconnection. Many of us can find enough there for a lifetime of study and contemplation of the facts. And there is an additional path which can bring us to a spiritual understanding of interbeing, which we need today. This path links the science of what we are seeing in nature and our imagination of what we know but isn't on the face of it apparent. And this is seen through the lens of mindfulness. I would like to take us on a walk through the forest. If you like, shut your eyes for a little to aid your imagination. We enter a grove of big trees. We see gray trunks and the shifting patterns of light through green leaves. This experience is complex, but there is a sameness. As we walk, we might get bored. Our mind might slide away. But we are practicing mindfulness here, so let's add some knowledge to our experience. Let's find another way of sticking with what we're seeing. We are seeing photons hitting every leaf. A leaf which has carefully arranged itself for that connection, so it can connect with the energy of the photon, and so forth. And so make us oxygen and also food by extension. That's interbeing in capital letters. Let's take that fact on board. We need these trees. We are intimately connected with these trees. As we walk together, let us then remember the invisible hundreds of gallons of water that are being pumped up the trunk of the tree from the ground to the leaves, ultimately bringing rain. Well, we know a name for that. It's called the water cycle. Now we have another name for it, interbeing. Let's hold that too in our mind as we proceed. Our feet are treading on leaves, mud, organic litter, and on a limitless web of life supported there in these layers, including miles of fungal tissue through which the trees are communicating. Using our feet and our equally marvelous knowledge and imagination, we move through the interbeing around us, the complexity of leaves, the busy insects eating the leaves. As our awareness grows, we know that we have barely started to think of all this. Now, please, if you have shut your eyes, come back out of the woods. When we focus on interconnectedness, we are actually dipping into a living stream. If we start listing the ways that things are interconnected, we will stop only when our knowledge runs out, not when the connections run out. That's fact. And then there is our perception. Einstein said, there are two ways to live a life. We can live as though nothing is a miracle, or we can live as though everything is a miracle. In other words, we can choose how and what we perceive. As every noticed detail and imagined fact stacks up in our mind, we can create a space for a new awareness of unity. Awe can arise. Intuition can arise. As we continue, we can become ourselves, facets in that necklace of Indra. The factual can deliver us over to what I must call the spiritual. I don't know any other word. The facts and the awe go together to make a deepened, widened frame of mind. It must have been in this frame of mind that Emerson said, "The eagle in the shell presupposes the whole universe." It must have been in this frame of mind that John Muir said, "Out of this world, we cannot fall." It must have been in this frame of mind that Thoreau said, "It takes a lifetime to appreciate one day in the woods." This is the seventh principle. So what of us Unitarians? Some of you who work so hard on moving the world one tiny inch toward better awareness of what is at stake, what we are losing, and some of you who challenge climate change deniers who seem to be on some other imaginary planet, I imagine that you may be thinking that taking the seventh principle in such a private, personal direction, a direction of awareness and joy, is just a frill, a distraction from the hard work at hand. There is great heartache over the direction we see our planet headed in. I and many feel it. Yet the personal experience of interconnectedness can be a wellspring that helps us as we seek to help the world restore itself. I have found a new book that has helped me. The Moth Snowstorm, Nature and Joy, written by the British naturalist Michael McCarthy, says that nature is not an extra, a luxury, but is indispensable. Well, we know that. But he says that idea must be felt at every person's individual level. And now McCarthy says that positive idea needs to be brought to nature's defense as we plow forward into the 21st century like a ship heading into a gale. McCarthy says we have tried to educate the unknowing public in many ways, and we have basically failed. He says the only weapons we have left are beliefs that fire the heart, love of nature, belongingness, and joy. To this list, I would add interbeing. He says we must use these weapons on a grand scale, on a level with the ideas that spread Christianity, Islam, the awakening of the Renaissance, the arising of the ideas of humanism. McCarthy says the calamitous event we are entering upon fully matches these great turnings of human history, and only positive beliefs on this grand scale can hope to hold it back. So where does that leave us with our unique seventh principle? We haven't even started to think about this way. There is a huge call. If we don't hear it, who? Along with the rest of humanity, we don't even have the words to lift up the felt sense of interbeing. Nope, As a concept, it is a non-starter culturally. What if we made a focused, concerted effort to develop music, rituals, dramas, visuals that would lift up this understanding? What if we developed worship services that combined both fact and awe for nature? Who else is making this effort? It is certainly too pagan for most Christians and simply too far out of the social context for most everyone. But let me say, among a certain group of people, many of them young, awareness of the fate of the earth is simply exploding. We could put these rising feelings in the context of worship for this most seminal group and to all our membership. We do have a statement. That's not enough. We need music. We need modern articulations of depth and joy in this awareness. We need whole services devoted to our glorious seventh principle. What if we articulate and spread the spiritual idea of interbeing? Who else is going to do it? Now is when I should wind up with a great summation. The summation I want is out there in the trees and leaves, but I have to place myself in its way. I have written a description of an exercise to aid us, which you can find on the program insert. At a certain point, after some coffee hour time, I'm going to ring the chime and go out with the back door with anyone who wants to, with partners. This exercise takes a partner. And we will try it for 15 minutes. It's purely optional. If you don't try it today because of the heat or the sun or whatever, coffee, try it at home. It really works. Interbeing is right in front of us all the time, but usually unseen and unarticulated. Quiet looking is the first step toward awareness of interbeing. To look, to see, to imagine, to comprehend, one mind at a time, or, we hope, together. That is our goal. Now let us have a brief moment of silence.